Christine, thanks for speaking with me today.
Oh, I just wanted to say thanks for having me today.
When I realized that Girl in the Middle was a YA novel, I didn't know. And when I started reading it, you just kept me. And it is about a teenager. Do you think that you've written sort of a universal book?
When I think about YA and I think about this book, I think of an intergenerational communication. I know that sounds crazy, but in one way, I'm speaking to an audience of, you know, the YA demographic, which is 13 to 17-year-olds. But in another way, I'm getting a lot of feedback from adults who are reading this book too, saying, hey, I really could connect with it. And really what I wanted to do with writing this book was look at many different ways of how a family deals with a crisis. I was watching the news and there was a story about a young girl who went missing. I just immediately thought, how does a family pick up after something like that? How do you return to normal, whatever normal happens to be? But, you know, I tend to, as a parent, think about, you know, how I would feel. But I also wanted to think about, in writing this book, how does a sister feel? How does a brother feel? How does someone else feel within the family? So that's really what this book was meant to do, was speak to a wide audience, because you see a growing acceptance and popularity of the genre of YA literature. So I really wanted to focus in, give this story through the lens of a young adult, but I think it is relevant to a wider audience.
I was comforted as well by your putting rather a fine point on how writing a journal became an epiphany for Skywalker.
Actually, the book started off where Sky was writing a journal. You know, it was a dear diary. This is what happened to me today. And that's why the chapters are pretty short and move very quickly, because it was more of a snapshot of what the daily life of someone, of a young girl, of a teenager looked like. But what was important is this kind of revelations that Sky has on a daily basis, and really that coming to terms with this family crisis, but also coming to terms with the daily interactions of high school. What does it mean to be bullied, and what does it feel like when you come home at the end of the day? So it was really important for me to be in the moment, to have it fast-paced, fast-moving, and relevant. So there are a lot of issues that crop up in the book, a lot of issues that, you know, in the moment are important, especially to Sky. And you see this transformation from Sky, I think, from, you know, the very beginning of the book to the end, where she learns a lot about herself, and she learns a lot about the people around her. And that, you know, capturing that transformation was really important for me in writing this book.
You want to share a couple of selections?
Sure. The first one, I think, when we get to really see who Sky is in the very beginning of the book, is on the first day of school when she's getting on to the school bus. Whistles and other strange sounds echoed from the rear of the vehicle. I lowered my head to look out one of the windows. Is that your mom? The yellow-toothed bus driver asked. Oh my gosh, I said. Your lunch, Sky, Mom yelled. Drive, now, I begged the bus driver. My mom, in a flimsy hot pink robe and worn cowboy boots, bounded across the lawn with my lunchbox in her hand. As she ran, her robe came untied and revealed a barely there tank top and shorts that were even shorter than Sophie's skirt. She jumped up and waved her arms like she was trying out for the cheer team. Her hair, loose and dark like mine, bounced on her shoulders. I'm not sure she was wearing a bra. Drive, please, I said to the bus driver. He shut the door and put the gear in drive, and I scooted down in the seat and hid behind my horn case on my lap. I gripped the green vinyl seat and held my breath. That's one hot mother, a voice from the back said. For sure, another said. Oh, I know, I had her. Whatever. No, you didn't. Hey, Luke Skywalker, were you adopted? How's the mom so hot and the daughter so ugly? Marcella, who was sitting with her brother in the seat in front of me, popped her head up. Why do they call you that? What? I asked. Luke Skywalker, why do they call you that? Because my last name is Walker. Get it? Skywalker? Marcella scrunched up her nose and shook her head. Shrugging, she stuffed part of a granola bar in her mouth. Have you been living in a hole for the past decade, I said? Does Star Wars ring a bell, the movie? I get called Luke or Princess Leia just about on a daily basis. Never seen it. "We don't watch television in my house," she said, with her mouth still full. "Well, you're about the only one on this planet who hasn't heard of it. I've been traumatized my whole life having to live with a stupid name my mom swears didn't have anything to do with Star Wars."
And you really get to know Skye in that exchange. She's a tough cookie.
She is. I think that she has to be. Being that middle child, and that was something that I really wanted to explore in writing about these three sisters. What does the role of a middle child look like? And this is someone who has to fight, someone who has a lot of spunk in her. You know, and she's, you know, she's the girl in the middle. She has, you know, two beautiful sisters, and she seems sometimes just to be overshadowed by those two sisters. So she's got this kind of sarcastic tone to her. You know, it's a little bit biting and funny, and that's really what I wanted to capture. And someone fighting for that spotlight. And of course, in the book, she does get that spotlight, but it was not really how she intended to get the attention.
Something else.
Another one that I thought was really pivotal in this book is where we get to see Skye change from, you know, that the geeky band nerd who is really struggling to find out who she is. So this excerpt is from a part of the book where Skye and her sister are talking. So this is a scene where the two sisters are in the kitchen. "What are you doing?" Sarah Elizabeth stood in the doorway watching my baking frenzy. Her hair had a soft glow to it again, and she looked more like herself than she had in a long time. "Baking," I said. "Okay." She scooted onto a bar stool and rested her head on her propped up hand. "Look, I'm sorry I've been such a witch to you. I think I was just jealous of you."
"Jealous? Of me?"
"Yeah. You have no idea how amazing you are, do you?" I scraped the bowl of chocolatey gunk into a grease pan and plopped it into the oven. I set the timer. "Whatever. No, I'm not kidding. You are so smart and fierce. You have it all together," my sister said. I laughed through my nose. "You do, seriously. Anyway, I made such a mess of things." I sat down beside my sister and rested my head on her shoulder. "So why were you jealous of me?" "Well, it's a long story, but when I came back, I was a total wreck, and you were, like, perfect. You went through this amazing change while I was gone. We switched places. You had become the perfect, happy sister, and I was in a dark, twisted place. I started to resent you and my whole life. I guess that's why I did the things that I did." "You wanted to hurt me?" I asked her. "Yeah, I guess I did. I screwed up so many things," she said. She pinched the skin above her eyebrow and said, "I'm so sorry, Skye." You know, that scene right there just really shows the dynamics and the tension between the two sisters, but really how Skye comes to figure out who she is and how important her role is within her family and outside of the family as well.
Did you say you have kids?
I do. I have a 9-year-old son and a 5-year-old daughter.
So she hasn't read this book yet. I was wondering.
No, and my son is wanting to read the book. He keeps asking, "Can I read it? Can I read it?" And I said, "I still think you're a little bit younger."
Well, how fun it will be for them to come of age, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you've got a book in the works now, or is it done and we're just waiting for it to be published?
I do have my second book under contract, so it is complete, and we are just in the editing process right now. So it will be out next summer.
Same topic area?
Well, something that binds these two books together is the topic of coming to terms and dealing with bullying. The second book is also within the setting of a high school, but it's a private high school. It's like a boarding school. And the main character, who's also female, is trying to figure out her place in this new setting. She's moved from the north to a southern city. And so she's dealing not only with the differences between cities, but also a new setting in her life. And one thing that she has to come to terms with is how to fit into this new group. A lot of the students at this new school have been together since kindergarten and moved up, and she's really trying to negotiate and find her place. There is a message within both these books, an anti-bullying message, and I think that's really important to bring that out. And I mean, that's important for me to bring that out in my works because I was bullied in high school, and it was something that really, you know, affected me deeply. And so that was important for me, at least in these works, to touch upon that.
No, it is very subtle. It's not something, you know, like worn on the sleeve of this book. It's very subtle.
Right.
And I guess speaks to how subtle bullying itself can be.
Absolutely. I think that's something that sometimes, students will, kids will go home from school and it might be something that wasn't even intended, to happen. Someone didn't intend to bully, or someone was outright bullying someone. And sometimes, and I remember just holding it in myself and not really talking about it and then feeling the effects afterwards, and that's why I really wanted to write YA fiction, was because, again, it goes back to this idea of speaking within generations. So, a mother and a daughter could read this, read this book and then talk about some of the points, some of the things that happened in Skye's life. And it just opens up an opportunity to talk about these topics.
Christine, I didn't know that CDs were retro now.
I know. That's one thing. In writing this book, I had to go to coffee shops and I had to really listen to the language, the dialogue between young adults, because I realized what was cool for me back in the day is not necessarily cool for kids today, because I would write things and I have a 15-year-old niece who would say, "Oh, Aunt Christine, no one says that anymore." And so I thought, okay, I have to make sure that I'm relevant and I get it right.
What a great editor. Thanks so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.